Now that you heard the Cliff Notes version of the scripture, let us hear the words from the Gospel of John together. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who had baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to drink water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flock drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." May God add a blessing to the hearing and reading of His Word.
For the last two Sundays, our Lenten Bible studies have been focusing on the Gospel of John and the places in the Gospel of John where Jesus uses the divine name from the book of Exodus, the I Am. We started out just by focusing on the idea that before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am, which is when it stands alone and is very thought-provoking about what that means. But then there are several other sayings in the Gospel of John where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door, the good shepherd. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine. In the gospel reading for today, Jesus had the opportunity to add to that and to say, I am the living water. And he could have said that to the woman at the well. But he decided not to, and instead he just offered to give her living water. And the meaning of that, the meaning of giving her living water as opposed to being the living water for her, is so similar that I almost included it in our Bible study as one of the I Am sayings. The scene is simple. Jesus had been in Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And he had spent some time at the temple. Actually, it was some much heralded time at the temple. In the Gospel of John, he had created quite a stir there. Stirred up some trouble. His opponents noticed that he was gaining disciples very quickly, and I suppose that because he was gaining disciples so quickly, it meant more trouble. So he left and decided to go back to Galilee. And on his way, he went through Samaria, a place where people lived that were despised. Tired from his journey, he stopped to rest at a well where he hoped to quench his thirst, and there he encountered a woman who had come to draw water. And had things gone as expected, and perhaps as they ought to have gone, they would have ignored one another. Which isn't too hard to imagine, because human beings are pretty good at ignoring one another when they get the chance. But there were reasons. Jews were not supposed to speak to Samaritans, and men were not supposed to speak to women. So they would have ignored one another to avoid any sense of impropriety or whatever other trouble might have resulted from their interaction. But instead of ignoring her, he asks her for a drink of water. We should notice this. He asks her for a drink of water. Turned out only to be a conversation starter, and she responded with surprise that he spoke to her at all. We're meant to pay attention to this because it represents a theme that runs all the way throughout the Bible. The gospel message never sets up barriers between people. On the contrary, the gospel message always attacks those barriers that people have set up and crashes them down. And that's interesting, I think, because we've been around as Christians for 2,000 years and there are still many barriers left between people. And it is possible for us to actually let religion be a barrier. But the fact of the conversation is not more striking than the substance of the conversation, in which Jesus tells her about this living water. A water that those who drink it will never thirst again. Water is one of the things we need to live. You go a couple of days without water, and you're in serious trouble. There are other kinds of things that are also needed to stay alive, and it's important to mention them too, because I think whenever Jesus talks to people in symbols and metaphors like this, he means more than what he just says. We also need food to stay alive, and clothing and shelter, and loving relationships. We need meaningful activity, work, vocation, something that gives us a sense of fulfillment one way or another in life. One of the things we like to do is to sort of distinguish between spiritual things and physical things, and the idea maybe would be easy for us here to just look at the difference between the physical, the more physical of these needs, food and water, clothing and shelter, and perhaps the more non-physical things like meaning and contentment and loving relationships, and distinguish between the physical and the spiritual. I think there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that because the one thing all these needs have in common is that they, for us, need to be repeated. We could say that the spiritual needs are the ones that have to do with less physical things, but even the less physical things also need to be repeated. Just like we need to eat and drink every day, some of these other things also require care. I think of athletes, professional athletes especially, the ones who start playing a sport when they're children and then keep playing it, and sometimes until they're in their 30s or even longer than that, and then all of a sudden they're forced to stop playing. Their time comes and they have to retire. And they may find a great deal of contentment and satisfaction until that point when they have to retire, and then all of a sudden they struggle for meaning, a sense of fulfillment. And I guess this can be true for anybody who retires. If we associate our purpose in life with what we do, and then we have to change what we do, very often we find that we struggle for a sense of meaning in life. So that even that concept of fulfillment has to be continued, has to be accomplished every day over time. Jesus is not speaking of a fulfillment or a love or a meaning that has to be repeated. That's the thing he's saying. He is the living water. When you drink it, you never thirst again. A sense of fulfillment, a sense of love and meaning comes that is permanent. The idea of living water implies that some deep inner essence of what it means to be a human being is satisfied. And what satisfies it is a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship with God. I think that's the best way for us to understand it. But the metaphor is a drink of water, and so it's not surprising that the reaction the woman gave him at the well. Instead of asking Jesus for a drink of this water, she just looked at the well and said, "You know, it's quite deep, and you don't have anything to draw with." And I don't know, maybe she thought that the water that she ordinarily drew from the well was skimmed off the top, and if he had something that he could go deeper with, maybe he could get better water. Anyway, she says, "This is Jacob's well. The fathers drank from it, and they all died. So Jesus must think he is somehow better than Jacob and the fathers if he thinks he can draw water from that well so that if she drinks it, she will never thirst again." And we see the silliness of her response and that she completely misunderstood what he was trying to say. Perhaps she should have just asked him, "What do you mean?" and let him explain. But I guess what it comes down to is this. It's hard to explain living water, especially to somebody who's living their life on the surface of things, where things have literal meanings. The truth is, it's just hard to explain living water. People who live superficially, as many of us do much of the time, will always take a food metaphor to mean just food for the body. A water metaphor is just water. And shelter is shelter, a roof over your head. And even relationships, the need for loving relationships is satisfied by loving relationships, family and friends. Sometimes they're a little complicated and it takes a little nurturing and care to have those relationships. And we can admit that they're not exactly the same as food, because if you go without food, you die rather quickly. And people can live all throughout their lives without meaningful relationships, even though something very important is lost. Same thing's true for vocation. Somebody like a doctor or a teacher or an engineer may find that life is satisfying as long as their work is seen to be helpful, contributes to making the world a better place. So that even with those higher level needs, if you'll let me say it that way, there's a sense of this worldliness to them. It's as if we might say that all of our relational and fulfillment needs are physical needs too, just like food and water. And we might also say that even the need for food and water and shelter are spiritual needs. Think about what life is like without them. But the location of the thirst that living water quenches is underneath the surface of things, and maybe depth is a good way of saying it. And yet, as difficult as it is to explain, I think each one of us knows about this kind of thirst that Jesus is talking about. And if we're honest, we'll admit that that's what we're searching for. The best window into the spiritual life, I think, is the realm of human relationships. I don't know if I've said that before, but if I haven't, I should have. It's a better window into understanding what human life is than science, I think, biology and chemistry, figuring out who we are based upon the math of things. Relationships is a better window. Jesus isn't talking about drinking water at all. He's talking about a relationship with God. To be in a relationship with God is to drink the living water that Jesus speaks about. Now, I say that and understand that even the metaphor of a relationship has its drawbacks. It's not perfect. The analogy can break down because in our real life experience, sometimes relationships are not always perfect. Sometimes they're strained, and we have invented this word that maybe came before the 1980s, but I remember it since the 1980s. We talk about dysfunctional relationships, whatever that means. And yet everybody uses the word because whatever it means, I think we all know. Like looking at this woman who had 5 husbands and the live-in partner. It occurred to me that perhaps she may have been a Hollywood actress in the 1930s. Because they all seem to have at least 5 or 6 husbands. One of them said, "I thought I would have 1 husband and 7 children. I ended up with 7 husbands and 1 child." It's hard to get to 5 husbands, I think. And of course, we're not told why. Clearly, relationships have their downside too, but I still think human relating is the best context to understand the things of God. And so it's the best way for us to understand what living water means when Jesus speaks it. Because in the context of relating to other human beings, we understand the meaning of love and trust. We understand what forgiveness is, both to forgive and to be forgiven. We know what it means to have a safe place where you can be yourself. It is in the world of family and friends that we live and die, that we love and hate, that we laugh and cry, that we celebrate and mourn. It is in the world of relationships with other people that we are given commands and we obey or we disobey. Or perhaps that we give commands and sometimes people obey them and sometimes they disobey them. We sacrifice. Someone else sacrifices for us. We despair and become discouraged. And we hope and take heart. We are offered a relationship with God. A relationship that strengthens, guides, and nurtures no matter the circumstances. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to get at. That we are offered this relationship whether we're in one of the down periods of life or one of the up periods of life. Whether we're doing well or whether we're not doing so well. We're offered this relationship if we're steeped in sinfulness and selfishness and negative things. And we're also offered this relationship when we have been making good choices and we're in a good place. It is not only a peace that surpasses understanding, but a love and a forgiveness and a sense of purpose and fulfillment that also surpasses understanding because it is not tied to the situation that we're in. And that is the sense in which we can understand that when we participate in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it is like having a great thirst quenched so that we never thirst again. That is what it means to drink living water. And interestingly, it all starts when Jesus asks us for a drink. Let us pray. Dear God, we come to church for all kinds of reasons, but the most important reason is because we want to meet you. We pray that you would ask us for a drink so that we might in turn ask you for a drink and be given this living water, and that it would make the difference in our lives, make all the difference in our lives, that it would carry us through every circumstance we face. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A song of dedication this morning is also in the black hymnal, The Faith We Sing. It's number 2176. Make me a servant. Shall we stand and sing a song of commitment together? you, Lord, for the fellowship that we have shared and the words that we have sung and heard. And we just pray as we leave that you would be with us everywhere we go with peace that passes understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.